In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you haven't met me, my name is Ken, Father Ken Campbell, and I'm here for the month of September, God willing, while Libby prepares to return to be our rector in October. So I'm going to talk today about some background to the story that you're going to be encountering as a parish beginning next week. I want to start with a little humor. This is a story from the 1990s about a naval ship of the American Navy and some Canadian authorities. The American ship sent a radio cable to the Canadians saying, please divert your course 05 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. And the Canadians replied, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees south to avoid collision. Well, this is the captain of the United States naval ship. I say again, divert your course. No, I say again, divert your course. Oh boy. We are a large warship of the United States Navy. Divert your course now. This is a lighthouse. Your call. Have you ever felt that way? I have. We need a strong underpinning and balance in our life. The captain lost that balance. In terms of the Christian faith, you are engaging on a year's journey up to Pentecost to get a deeper hold on the story of our faith. But underneath that, I want to suggest to you, there are three things which we see throughout all the scripture readings. I was going to make quotations from them, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want to take all that time. I'll get to you next week. Okay, did anybody know what this is?
Milking stool.
Three-legged
stool. Yeah, sometimes people had a three-legged stool when they were milking a cow or in the garden. Or all kinds of other esoteric uses. So it has three legs. And maybe you'll remember this. Okay, the three-legged stool. The three legs that hold you up in your faith. Prayer, P, right? Prayer. Next one, what are you going to do when you're reading the story? What do you call that? In school, what do you do?
Learn.
Study. Prayer, good, this is a good group. Study. Okay, so prayer and study, and then think of the letter of James. Be doers of the word. Action! Okay? Prayer, study, action. And what happens if you don't do one of them and that leg is short or missing and you sit on it? You fall down just like a captain. Crash. Bang. Down. So, I want to say a little bit about prayer, study, and action. First of all, just to complicate it, when we say prayer, this is prayer, right? We gather here for our Eucharistic offering to God. This is the heart of our prayer. It means so much to us. I've been a priest almost 50 years. I feel the same now that I did 50 years ago. It's such a joy to be with you in offering our praise to God. But that's not the end of it. Prayer also is when you're with a small group. And prayer also is by yourself. Self, small group, community. All three are essential. And the same is true about action and study. So you've got three elements that make up a life. In the gospel today, one thing sure comes across. Following Jesus is not just being a nice person and having good manners. It's good that you're a nice person and have good manners. But is that the gospel? No. I mean, it's just a small piece of it. The gospel wants all of us, all of our life, and everything that we are. There's no sitting on the fence, guys. It's an all or nothing thing. So I just want to give a few more examples, and I'm going to come back to this next week or the week after. So you'll know all about study, action, and prayer as you study the story during the year. As far as a prayer is concerned, one of the things that has meant a lot to me in my life is I'm an introvert. You know, I can't believe that I'm a priest. Because you have to set that aside. But you know, that's true of all of us. In some ways, to follow Christ, we have to set aside some things about ourselves to God's requirements and glory. The thing I want to say is when I met my wife, she was a Roman Catholic and I was an agnostic. Anyway, I remember we dated for 5 years. And she, one night she said to me, "Can we hold hands and say a prayer?" So we did. And I said, "Oh, what the heck?" I had ulterior motives. So, you know, since that time, every day, once a day, usually at a meal, we held hands, and we made our kids do it too with us growing up, and we said a prayer. Always the prayer was, first of all, if nothing else, thank you for today. Thank you for today. Even the very worst day of my life, thank you. Because I still have the gift of my life and the possibility to be a loving person in some small way, to thank. So that is a piece of prayer in which, that's only one way, it doesn't have to be that way, but that in some other way, we need to be able to do that, and then also when we're alone, and I'll talk about that maybe next week, for prayer. On study, in a way, this is an act of worship, a beautiful act of worship. That we're sharing in. But the sermon, in a way, is kind of a piece of study in the midst of it, right? Reflecting on how we apply our faith to who we are and where we live and what we're dealing with today. Several of you have told me you really love the sermons of your rector, Libby. I don't know, what do you call him? Call it Libby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Libby. Libby? Rev? Whatever. Rector. Anyway. The point is, you experience her sermon as a group together, and that's a unique experience. You can read a sermon later, but it's not the same, is it? Because all your presence and prayers and music are a part of the power of the Spirit moving in that sermon or not. Okay? So you, as a group, experience it, but then afterwards, hopefully, you might talk about it over lunch or breakfast, I hope sometimes. How did that hit you? What do you think? I don't really get that. I don't think I can do that. But you hear what I'm saying? That's a piece of it. And then also, there's by yourself, to think about what are your sister in Christ trying to share, or what it means to follow Jesus. Think about, well, how does that apply to me? How can I respond? So that, again, you see the three levels and how they all interact. Just a couple more, and I'll be done today. And the thing I wanted to say about prayer is that it's not really so much words. It's a relationship. That's the heart of it. All of us follows. There's a line in the Book of Common Prayer that I love, and it goes like this. With all that I am, that's a lot, right? All that I am, and all that I have. That pretty much covers it, right? With all that I am, and all that I have, I honor you. in the name of God. Wow. Now that's covenant. Where is that?
Marriage.
Excellent! In the marriage liturgy. Thank you. And of course it's about two people making a covenant for life, hopefully, together, right? Before God. But that marriage covenant is a part of the bigger covenant, the baptismal covenant of our whole life. That's what this is all about. That's what God is asking of us, each in our own way. So, and then two other things now. So, you don't want to swear. Another thing that has helped me as an introvert is, as a priest over the years, I really found at times I thought I was going to lose it. Have you ever had that feeling? Lose it. What I started doing was going for long walks about 40 years ago. And, you don't have to learn a lot of rules to pray by yourself. You just have to be who you are and open yourself to this. And I found that taking those long walks helped me to deal with my frustrations, my angers, my confusions, and just being in the great outdoors that God gave us all. So that is a form of prayer and study. Okay? And then, what is the other one I was going to say? Oh, about action. Just two things on action, then I'll quit. You're doing a ministry here called Amazing Grace, right? Amazing Grace. Now, somebody had to have that idea first, right? This is with the children of those incarcerated in the summer camp, right? Somebody had that idea. Then a couple more people got together. And ultimately, as a community of Christ here, as a congregation, you took on this ministry. So you see the three levels there? And what is it? It's a being doer of the word. It's acting it out. And maybe, here's what happens. You start to think about, well, why are 2 million people in jail in our country? Why is that? Is that the way it should be? Is that working? You see how it leads to other things? Okay. What was the last thing? Oh, and it's not just local. It's international. We've had a lot of controversy in our country about refugees and immigrants. And right now, there's a crisis we all know about with the people of Syria. Their country has been destroyed. And also Iraq. And the people, they're trying to find a place to go. And lots of people are saying, not here, not here, not here. Angela Merkel, who is the German Prime Minister, she, talk about political risk. She said, we in Germany welcome you. We want you to come, and we want to welcome you. Not accept or tolerate, but welcome. Wow. Do you know several Episcopal bishops in our country have said, we want some of our parishes to sponsor a family from Syria or Iraq. Bishop of New York said, when he was in Massachusetts, when they had the crisis in Bosnia, they had a family come who were Muslims, who joined that church. They're still Muslims, but they're still in that church 20 years later. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how it works, but God, all things are possible. So, that's the story. And I want to close, slip one more thing in. Just want to give you an example of my church that it's not enough to put the sign out, the Episcopal Church welcomes you. We need to be more explicit. So they put ads in all the newspapers around town, and this is what they said. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, filthy rich, dirt poor, and those who do not speak English. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rail, or who could afford to lose some pounds. We welcome you if you can sing like Andrea Botticelli, or like our priest who couldn't carry a talk in the bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing. just woke up or just got out of jail. We don't care if you're more Catholic than the Pope or more Protestant than Billy Graham. Well, you haven't been in church since little Joey's baptism. We extend a special welcome to those over 60 who haven't grown up yet. Teenagers who are growing too fast, soccer moms, NASCAR dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk foodies. We welcome you if you're in recovery or addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps or you don't like organized religion. We have all been there. If you blew your offering gambling, you're still welcome. We offer a special welcome to those who think the earth is flat. For those who work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or hear because grammar is in town and insisted on going to church. We welcome those who are inked and pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now. Had religion shoved down their throat as a kid, got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. That happens. We welcome tourists, seekers, doubters, bleeding hearts, and you.
Wow. Church and for the world. In the diocesan cycle of prayer, pray for St. Peter's Church, South Dartmouth, Christ Church, South Hamilton, Church of the Holy Nativity, South Lambeth, St. David's Church, South Yarmouth, and the Brotherhood of St. Gregory. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Episcopal Diocese of South Dakota. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, and lead us to creative ways to address the epidemic of opiate addiction in our community. May we honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, especially the Rosebud Episcopal Mission and Lakota people, and the families served by Amazing Grace Camp, and their loved ones who are incarcerated. May they experience your hope and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer from addiction of any kind, those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and those who love them. We pray especially for Meg, Avery, Tara and Michael, Helen, Diana, Phyllis, Doris, Richard, Don, Anne, Margaret, Kirk, Ellie and Pete, Stephen, Beth, Marvin, Joan, Judy, Tessa, Diane, Monique, Sherry, Phyllis, Mary, Stuart, Jan, Mike, Ann, Monica, Rick, Waters, Daphne, Hope, Maureen, Patricia, Stanley, Wendy, Betty, Barbara W., Tiffany, Larry, Dorothy, Janet, Maga, Oliver, Kristen and Jacob, and for those we now name silently or aloud. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died. We pray that your will for them may be fulfilled. We pray for those we name silently or aloud. May we share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us confess our sins against Christ in our name.
Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will
God, have mercy upon you, through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Stay with you.
Then I'm going to call on you in a second. Okay? Just a minute.
Gift God ever gave humankind. Thomas Carlyle wrote of it, through its pages as through a window divinely opened, all can look into the stillness of eternity and see God. Of it, Sir Isaac Newton wrote, I find more sure marks of authenticity in this book than in any written history. The Bible, the story. Today we begin a 34-week journey, pilgrimage, through its pages from Genesis to the book of Revelation. At every level in our parish family, from the youngest to the oldest, in our homes, in our Sunday classes, in our midweek classes, in our church school classes, in our joy mass, even alone, sitting here on Sunday morning, we are going to engage the book. We can engage it with full throttle or perhaps just slightly. But however we engage it, we will all benefit to the degree to which we choose to work on it and to study. How will it work? On Friday afternoons, an email blast will come from the parish, and it will give you a study plan for the week. Theme, lesson to be read, questions, and a brief synopsis of the particular part of the Bible under consideration. We begin with Genesis, and then we move to Noah, and then Abraham, and the story of David, and the like, each week. You can study that in your homes. You can come to the class, 40 minutes, which will follow this service each Sunday. It will be considered in the church school classes and the joy mass, as I say. Now, the aim of this is that each of us grow in our understanding of how the Bible tells us that God loves us. When we come to June and we're completely through the book, hopefully all of us will have a better sense but the depth and the breadth and the height of God's love for us. That is the intent. Now, there are a couple of ways to approach Scripture. I served a parish in Dallas, Texas, and biblical literalism was non-fun. That God, the Holy Spirit, spoke absolutely through authors, and in speaking, spoke God's words. We're not going to go down that avenue. It runs into very serious issues when you come to that part in Kings where God stops the sun so the days elongated so the Israelis are able to slaughter their enemies at length. It doesn't work. Nor are we going to engage in radical skepticism, which is the reverse. Looking at the Bible in such a way that God is always found lacking and not present. And there are plenty of people who, through scholarship, they don't do that. We're not going to do that. What we are going to do is to enrich our lives by approaching the Bible devotionally. We're going to study it in light of this story and our lives and what it is that God wants us to be. That's how Episcopalians regard the Bible, and that's how we will be enriched in our parish family this year. Now, a test, and you are to be tested.